And please open in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. If I was to give this a title, I would entitle it, "There is a Difference, a Big Difference." First Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is writing the Corinthian church. We'll start at verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Let's just break that down for a little bit. When I came, I didn't come with a really super-duper speech, with a lot of big words. The difference between me and Paul is I couldn't come to you with big words. I don't know that many, but Paul could. "I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." Paul's not against wisdom as long as it's wisdom from God. There's man's intellect, but we want something more than man's intellect. "When I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Testimony of God is what God has done. But he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." He wanted to keep it around what Jesus did of him going to the cross. And he said, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." I know what that's like. And verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." There is a difference between man's wisdom and a man that's heard from God and the power of God. What he's saying is, verse 5, "And the reason I wanted to hear from God when I came to you, and that his anointing, the Spirit, was upon Paul, is that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man." I didn't want to have an argument better than your argument. I didn't want to have some process of logic that could overdo your logic. Because your faith must not stand on man's logic, because someone could come along and have better logic than what Paul had. But you can never outdo God's wisdom. And so Paul says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, what does he mean, the power of God? He's talking about an experience, whether it be a born-again experience. And that's what Pentecost, we believe in experiences from God, whether they be an experience of being born again, or whether it be an experience of when the Holy Spirit fills you and you end up being full of God's Spirit. And the sign that that has happened is speaking in tongues. But there is a big difference between what man does and what God does. I was watching a nature show. I don't know where this island was, but this island had thousands of seals. And to me, all those seals look alike, except the little ones from the big ones. But their face, they just pretty much look alike to me. And all these seals landed on this island, and they were going to have their young being born there. So you've got these mama seals, and they're so crowded together. How many have ever seen these pictures? And they're all there on this island, and the little pups are being born. And then it showed that these mama seals would have to leave and go out into the ocean and do some hunting to eat something, so when they came back, they had milk or food for their babies. And what was amazing is when these mother seals came back, and there's thousands of seals and thousands of little bitty seals, they knew their little seal and recognized it. And the documentary went on to say sometimes a mother would go out to sea and she wouldn't return. And the little pup would be hungry and getting hungry and hungry, and the little seal would go up to another mama seal and hope that the mama seal would take it in. But the mama seal would reject it. It wasn't her seal. Now, how she knew it wasn't her seal, she could tell by visual observation or a smell, one or the other. But I'm thinking, how in the world would they know? And then finally, I don't like those documentaries that always leave a bad spin on it, make me cry over a poor little seal losing its mama. I'm a big wimp on that kind of stuff. So I'm saying, come on now, find that mama. And so here come mama back, and the little seal sees its mama, and they come, and they show the unite. But there is a difference. The mother can tell the difference between one that's hers and one that's not. I was talking to a man at a collision repair shop, and he works on cars and fixes them. And in his shop, I was observing some really interesting cars, and a couple of them were Jaguars. And I don't know much about Jaguars, but he was telling me, he said, "You see that car there?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "There was only like a dozen made, and this is one of them. That car's worth over $1 million. I thought, can I touch it? And he went on explaining that people will try to duplicate that Jaguar and sell it as though it's an original, but there is a difference. My mom and dad, years ago, I remember, got into collecting coins. It became a hobby for my dad. And he bought a penny, and I don't know how many hundreds of dollars they paid for this penny. And they held on to it, and here, some years later, they decided they wanted to sell it and get another coin. But when they went and took it back, they said, "Well, we have to always check on these coins to make sure they're not counterfeit." "Well, go ahead, we bought it here." And when it came back, it was a counterfeit. So my mom and dad said, "Look, you're the ones that sold this counterfeit." So they made it good. But my point is, there is a difference between the real and the unreal. And it seems to be, since I've been a Christian, I've noticed that the devil loves to duplicate everything that God does and make it look like something is of God when it's not on God. I don't know if you noticed the sign, but I'm so proud of what I have on there. I put on the sign on the front. Now I can't remember what I put on there. "No fake news inside, just good news." That's a Galen Allen response. I'm so proud of that. I'm sure, get ready, we're going to have to pull out folding chairs. They're just going to come in by the thousands and say, who's so smart to have such a wit? But there is a duplicate for about everything that you could come across, whether it be in clothing or cars or money. And even in church, there are that which is not real versus that which is real. In the Old Testament, you have that showdown when Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And Moses threw down his rod and it became a snake. And the magicians threw down their rod and it became a snake, a copycat. But there was a difference. Moses' rod that turned into a snake gobbled up magician's snake. God could give dreams, and they can be from the Lord. But also, you can get dreams that are not from the Lord. There is a difference. And it would take one to recognize when it's from God and when it's from not. This is no argument against dreams that are from the Lord. But in the Old Testament, you have God and you have men that came forth claiming they heard from God, and God would raise up a prophet such as Isaiah or Jeremiah and said, "These men and their dreams, I have not sent them. Their dreams that they have, they're not from me." Now that's no argument to say that God is not into dreams. God is into dreams, but there is a difference when a dream is from God and when it's not from God. There is the real. My wife shared in Sunday school, and may I just share it with you, that our grandson has cystic fibrosis. He's 5 years old, and he'd been sick for about a month. They did some tests on him, and his breathing has gone down about 20%. So obviously that's quite stressing to the parents. And I've been praying, "Lord, touch their faith." And they've got some time where he'll be going in. But in the midst of this story, I'm glad my wife told the story, because I might have got it wrong. Brocky's father, Aaron, his grandmother, his mother gave a picture of Jesus. And was it sitting on Aaron's desk? In Aaron's room when he was a kid. And consequently, somehow Kelly showed Brocky this picture of Jesus and said, "Do you know who this is?" And Brocky said, "That's Willie Nelson." And said, "No, that's not Willie Nelson. Where'd you get that?" And she said, "It's Jesus." And then Brocky said, "No, that's not what Jesus looks like." Now, I obviously am wanting this to be true. And I bring that into the equation when I make my determination. But it doesn't remove the fact that God can still talk. But Brocky said, "Let me tell you what Jesus looks like." And she asked him, "Well, what does he look like?" And he described what he believed Jesus looked like, far different than that picture. I don't know this. It's not beyond my realm of beliefs that God has given him a vision of Jesus that's real to him, to help him. But I have only said that to say there is your Willie Nelsons and there are the real Jesuses. And there is I won't do that again. Somebody must have prayed for life. I believe people in miracles. I believe there is the real, and there's a big difference between the real and that which is not real. And that which is not real, I'm the first to admit, has crept into the church, and it has made the real go on trial. But I just want you to know that that has always been the case, but there is the real, there is the genuine, and there is that which is not real. You see, I was brought up in a church that I did not know that when you came to Christ, the Holy Spirit could fill you with the Holy Spirit and you would speak in a heavenly language. I did not know there was such a thing as that. And one day when I'm now, the Lord had gotten a hold of me and I've gotten saved, and that was real. Getting saved is a real experience where Jesus comes into your heart and you know it. You know you're not believing some Esau fable or some great logic. Not that it's wrong to have good logic, but I knew I was saved. I hope you know you're saved today. If you're not, He can make it real to you, and you can get saved, and you can walk out of this place and know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again for our justification, and your sins can be forgiven. You can have a salvation that is real, and you know it. And I got saved, and I knew it. We sing, I saved, and I know that I am. And I knew it. But one day I was in church, and as we would go to the altar to pray, I heard my best friend speaking in another language. What is that? And he told me that he was praying and that the Lord was giving him the words. And I remember saying, listen, we went to school since we were in kindergarten together, and the only weird language we learned was Pig Latin or Spanish, and that's not either of them. What is it? And he said, it's real. It's the Holy Spirit in me, and I'm speaking in a heavenly language. An 18-year-old young man is not that dumb, he's not that smart, but my mother didn't born no dummy, and I remember going to the pastor, what is this? And he took me to the Bible, to where I saw where it was. So I went home and asked my mother, Mama, do you know what they do at this church I've been going to? And they talk in tongues. Have you ever heard of such a thing? And she smiled and said, yes. I said, do you talk in tongues? She said, no. I said, well, why don't you? And it's a long story. She was, just never happened to me. I said, do you believe it's real? She said, yes. So I, after reading the scriptures, I thought, well, I think it's real. Looks real. And I remember going up on the hill behind where I lived, and I tried to make it happen. I remember underneath this tree, and I could still see the spot, and nobody looking. I remember going, and I think this really happened. I mean, it's embarrassing to tell you, but I wanted to see if I could make this happen. And I left, and no, that's not real. That's just me. And I know that the church at times has produced a lot of dumb things that are not real. And if you'll say A-E-I-O-U fast enough, you can get the Holy Ghost. And I've seen all kinds of dumb stuff for people to get the baptism of what we call speaking in tongues. And I was smart enough to know that's not real. And I left thinking, well, it didn't happen to me. I'm not saying it's not real, but I know what I did was not real, even though I could put all these weird sounds together. But I went to church. It was Easter Sunday night, and I said to my mother, I'm going, and it's my birthday. I was born on Easter Sunday morning. And I said, I'm going tonight, and I'm asking God for my birthday if He'll give me that experience. When I went, there was no preaching, but there was a choir, At the end, they had people come down for prayer, and there were a lot, about 300 people, maybe at least 80 at the altar. And I remember, and I was just talking to Charlie McLaren, who you know, and I was sharing with him this. He said, I was there the night you received the baptism. And I know Brother Skip Cade at least a dozen times will always point to this spot right here where it happened to him. And I can show you the spot where I was when I kind of self-conscious and other people are praying. And I felt an impression. That's all I know how to put. Why don't you just tell me you love me? And I remember lifting my hands and saying, Lord, I love you. And the next thing I remember is something got a hold on me. I went there to fight, but I tell you this night, something got a hold of me. And something like an explosion. I don't have the words in this earthly realm to describe something in a heavenly realm. But that heavenly realm came down and it just lit my... something happened and got a hold of me. And it was like, and I've heard all kinds of words, but nothing comes close. But it was so real what I experienced. And then I remember, yes, I did speak in tongues. And I was worshiping the Lord in tongues. And oh, it was so real. I'm telling you, there is a difference between what happened that night and what happened up on the hills when I tried to do it myself. There is a big difference. And Paul is saying, I want your relationship in God to be based, your faith in the miraculous, not in man's wisdom. And that is what we as Pentecostal people are to contend for, is the miraculous. And yes, I believe in good sermons. And yes, I believe in things that make sense. But folks, there is something that is to give you a witness that is greater than man, and it is a manifestation, whether it be born again and you're saved and you know that you are, and then there is the infilling of the Holy Spirit that comes, and that is so real. I'm just trying to say there is a difference between that which is fake, that which is man-made, and that which is from above. And once you've experienced the real, once you've experienced a supernatural thing happen to you, you're never satisfied again for this world and what it can offer. In the Old Testament, you read about how they took the shields in the temple, the brass shields, and they polished them to make them look like gold. And it's often been preached, we've gotten a lot of brass inside the church and we've polished it up and made it look like gold, but it's not gold. There is the real. They don't happen every other day, but the supernatural things that do happen are so wonderful and so beyond what this world can give. And that's why we sing, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. Whether you have your faith as a result of being born again, which is an experience, a supernatural experience, or whether you have, now that you've known the Lord and He has filled you with His Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, or whether you've experienced the gifts in the Spirit, something supernatural. And when Paul says, let us contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, he's talking about contending for the supernatural. He's not contending for that which man can do, though as wonderful as it can be. I love a good sermon just like you do. But Paul said, when I came, I didn't come with a sermon to wow you. I came in fear and trembling saying, oh God, please come and let your Holy Spirit move so that when I'm done, something will happen,
Something will get a hold of them. The same thing that got a hold of me will get a hold of them. And that's what we contend for. And that's what we're to contend for. And that's what I'm encouraging us. Let us contend for the supernatural. However God in His wisdom decides that it's to come forth and to manifest itself. There's a difference between the real and that which looks like it's real. There's a difference between the sheep and the goats. There's a difference between the wheat and the tares. And the tares, when they're first blooming on that little stem, look just like a wheat. They're called darnel. But as it grows, you can see it's not the wheat. And there's a lot of tares in the church. I'm not faulting them. I'm just saying they've never experienced the real and being born again. Looks like those puppy seals, they look all alike to me. But they're not the child of that mama. She knows the difference. When God looks at you, is He going to say, "You're mine"? I know when you got saved. I know when you experienced me. Have you been born again? Have you experienced Christ? Have you had something supernatural happen to you? That's what we contend for. Debbie, would you come, please? The difference between brass and gold is brass can lose its shine. I've seen people go to church, get a good charge, get it all shined up, but it loses. And they got to go back later and get it shined up again. When you really experience God, it's gold. I don't have to shine that. It's shining all the time. I'm not saying I'm always aware of it, but it's there. Would you stand with me this morning, please? I want to ask you a very simple question. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, it's a very simple question. It just deserves an honest answer. How many can say, "I know"? I just know that I'm saved, that I've received Christ as my Savior, and I am a sheep. I am one of His. I've experienced being born again, and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please? Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. If you were not able to raise your hand, I'm hoping you will to receive Christ, because He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. That, my friend, is an experience that God in His wisdom will manifest to you. But you must do your part. If you didn't raise your hand, but you would like to experience Jesus, would you raise your hand? I didn't raise it, but I'd like to experience it. Now let me, just before I move along, be careful of your decision. He will knock on your heart's door, and He wants to save you. And He wants to be real to you and be your best friend. It's an experience. Would you raise your hand? I've thought about it a little more, and I want to receive Jesus. Let Him see it, please. Now, I wonder how many would say, "Pastor, I've received Christ as my Savior, but I have never experienced that real baptism of the Holy Spirit where you talk in tongues. And it's not the tongue that I'm emphasizing as it is the fullness of the Holy Spirit that helps you to know Him better. How many would say, I have not spoken in tongues and I would like to receive the experience? Would you raise your hand, please? You need not be afraid. The Holy Spirit is nothing to be afraid of. He comes to glorify Christ. He doesn't come to glorify Himself. If you'd like to be full of the Holy Spirit, you have to want it. Just as you have to want to be saved, you have to want to be full of the Holy Spirit. He won't force Himself on you. Now, how many would say, I want to experience more of what Paul was talking about, his power? Would you raise your hand? I want to have more experiences in God. Thank you. I do too. I do too. The only way I know that helps bring that about is by prayer and us seeking Him. So I'm going to invite us, would you come and let's stand this morning? It won't hurt you, but we're going to make ourselves available to the Lord, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to minister to you. He's the one that does it. I don't want what man does. I want what God does. I left there that night knowing this, it's real. It's real. Oh my Lord, it's real. If anything keeps me going every day of the week, it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. All my doubts are settled and I know it's real. Could we sing that? It's real. My memory's not real right now. It's real, it's real. It's real, it's real. I know it's real. Becky, do you know it real good? You just did. Would you come help us lead us? If she, would you help me today? Well then, fake it till you make it. I'll help you.
It's real, it's real. I know it's real. It's the Pentecostal power. And no, I know it's real. It's real. It's real, I know it's real. It's the Pentecostal power. I know it's real.
It's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. It's the Pentecostal power. And I know it's real. It's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. It's the Pentecostal power. Heavenly Father, I am asking as pastor, knowing that you hear me, knowing that you're real and that this Pentecostal power and experience that Paul talked about is real. I don't want what man can do. I want only what you can do. So I ask for the Holy Spirit to breathe upon these people, to manifest Himself. Right now, while I'm praying, would you say, Lord, manifest Yourself to me and make it real to me. I believe you're real. How you want to choose to make it real to me is up to you. But Lord, make it real. And I pray, Lord, I agree with them that you let them, as they reach out this week, I see some of you this week looking to the Lord, saying, Lord, here I am. Show yourself to me. He'll do it in many ways, unusual ways. He may insult your mind to bless your heart. But would you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit this week? And would you just let your heart hunger and thirst after the Lord? And Lord Jesus, I pray that you let their faith be built and stand upon the demonstration and the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. If you meant that, He'll answer your prayer. That I know. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon. Thank you, Jesus.